Three, two, go. Hey, what's up, guys? This is another episode of Blaze Talks Podcast. Thank you for the support. Today, we have another guest who is running a tech magazine. A tech magazine, a podcast, and a YouTube channel that deals exclusively with tech content. This is one of the hardest niches to maybe specialize in Kenya and maybe in Africa in general. And today he'll be giving us tips on how maybe to run such an organization and things like that. Welcome, Nigel.
Thank you for having me.
You're running Tech Space Africa. Yes. How long have you run Tech Space Africa?
I've run Tech Space Africa since 2020. Yeah, during the COVID times. When I went full time into Tech Space Africa.
So what prompted you, like, there are so many niches to pursue that are maybe even easier in Kenya.
Yeah.
There's travel, there's creative writing and all that stuff. What prompted you to maybe go for tech as compared to any other thing that you could have done?
So because it's a passion, the most kind of tech I write about is consumer gadgets.
Consumer tech.
Yeah, so these are things like smartphones, reviews on things like... Laptops,
yeah. TVs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tech Space Africa. You've run it from like 2020 since 2020.
Yeah.
What are like some of the things that you've learned about like the tech space in Kenya and maybe the media space in Kenya in general, and how does it compare maybe to other places?
Okay, in Kenya, it's very hard to establish dominance in that. People don't want to listen to reviews from the, you know, the Kenyan people. They want to look for advice
elsewhere.
Yeah. Like, they think these people are the ones who are producing the smartphones, the gadgets, so their reviews will be better than
what you're doing.
Yeah, than what us locals are doing, which I think should change. Maybe it will change. Maybe it's changing. It's different from 2020. You can see growth. You can see, like, with the introduction of TikTok, people are starting to, you know, appreciate content that is being made locally
yeah,
by tech reviewers and whatnot. Yeah.
So, how did you like start out? Because how did you start out? Because there are various barriers of entry, isn't there? So to review, did you start out like text or videos first? What came first?
I wrote first before I could do editing videos. Yeah.
So how did that go? So you started off maybe with a simple laptop, and maybe you grew from there. What can you advise maybe someone who wants to maybe venture, maybe to start a media something, maybe a small blog? What can how do you advise them to do?
Okay, so it was during the COVID-19. It was like the beginning, and there was those limitations of travel. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
so I was just at home. I remember, and I used to write for another blog, which was like a business. So, and then we were laid off. So I decided I'm going to write
for yourself,
for myself. And I remember I hit you up, and you gave me that laptop, that HP laptop. So that is where I started with that laptop. Nika, Sema, let me just review what I have. So I already have a phone. I had bought my own phone, of course, the phone I'm using. So that was the very first review I did. And I just started. I did not like have a budget and go out and buy review items. I just started with what I have. So if someone is looking to start in anything, and they don't have like a big budget, having a budget is nice. You can buy things and review. But if you don't have a budget like me at the time when I was beginning, you can just start with whatever you have. If you have a watch, a smartwatch, if you have a laptop, you can review a laptop. If you have
even books, I've seen one of the favorite thing about some of the reviews that you do, those that you do about scammers and scamming sites.
Yeah, you don't have to have any budget to review things like that. You can just take things that are there and you review like works, other people's works, and you just review it. And as long as it's in your niche.
I've also seen maybe you doing Netflix content about streaming.
Yes,
So one of the hardest things to do, especially for creatives, is monetizing your craft. So And maybe a blog is one of the hardest things maybe to monetize.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest things to monetize. True. So what are some of the steps that one can take to do the monetization? Because for us, especially let's say for us at Blaze Talks Podcast, at this time maybe we are just rolling, we're just producing content. We are not doing, there's nothing that the service, there's no income that's being generated and stuff like that. People like us would like to know, how do you monetize a product that you have?
Okay, first and foremost, like after you've just like taken your content and you've created the content, and now you have a good content, you establish an audience, because that is what people look for when they want to like pay you for stuff. This is how you generate income. You have to have the content, then you have to have high quality.
Oh, so audience. Content?
Yeah.
High quality content.
Yes.
Then you have to have an audience.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That is still high quality.
Or a high quality audience.
Not spam, yeah. So you now with those two, you can approach people like brands.
So let's say you started in 2020.
Yeah.
Started in 2020. Mm-hmm. You've published content.
A lot of content, yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe you've gained some following.
Yeah, I have an audience, yeah.
Yeah, you have an audience. So you'll take these stats.
Yes, these are stats that brands want to see. This is if you want to work with brands directly. This is just one mode of monetization.
There are a lot. So you take your content, then maybe you can start approaching these brands.
Yeah, you approach them like many. I used to wake up and I used to write so many emails, a lot of emails. And you cannot give up, and most will not be actually replied to.
Yeah. So let me digress kidogo. One of the challenges for even people like us and even anybody, young people, is maybe writing even maybe cover letters and emails and maybe how to package themselves as to sell themselves out there. Because if you are looking for a job, you're not writing a CV for yourself. You're writing maybe a CV for the person who'll be looking at it, so that they can see what value you can offer.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you package yourself? Your ones that kutuma those emails, because you can't send an email and say, oh, I run this blog, it's got X space, can you give me a job? How do you go about it?
Like, it's actually pretty simple. I think people overcomplicate it, just like you are, because I used to write like paragraphs on paragraphs explaining when we were founded, the numbers we were getting, then nothing else, just selling myself. It's not that hard. Like, if you have the content and you have the audience, like those are the two things they're looking for, these brands. So you don't have to oversell yourself.
So you
just write and you tell them, hi, this is this is me, this is what I do, this is what I can offer you. And in
Very simple, what you've said, people are too busy to go through
the whole shenanigans. Yeah.
So you'll just do maybe a few, one paragraph.
Yeah.
And then maybe you attach whatever you want to attach, and then
Link to your work, and maybe a screenshot of like the back end, because of the analytics, so that you can prove you have this audience and you have this good content, and they'll reach out to you. And this is when you're starting. Now, when you are grown and you are working, yes.
Okay, sorry for interrupting. So you've already approached these brands. When did they start approaching you? Because now you've established yourself. So when do they start approaching you?
I think when you start working with a few brands, and others will see that what you are doing with other brands, because this is what they do in the, I call it the PR
side.
PR side. They look at what
you've done
the competition
before. Oh,
doing,
the competition.
Not us, just the competition. Like if it's, say, Samsung, they look at what Oppo is doing, who they're working with. And now if they see you're doing a good job, they will approach you. So this is, in order for brands to approach you, you have to be working with at least another brand.
Oh,
yeah.
that's called job too. Lazima you have to be working with someone else so that you can get.
Yes.
So what was one of the first brands that you worked with, and what did you review for them?
I think my first ever review was the Oppo Reno 5 or 4. So it was Oppo, and I reached out to them.
Also, it was one of the successful pitches that you did.
Yeah, it was one of the successful ones. So I reached out to them, sent them my analytics, I sent them works I've done before, and they were like, okay, this is nice. They gave me their deliverables, and then we started working together. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And we've worked together ever since.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope. So, the migration from maybe now migrating from text-based to maybe, because for, as you had said earlier, like for tech, like people look at tech, they most of the time they don't have time maybe to read.
Mm-hmm.
What's the process like from migrating from text to maybe doing videos and
doing audiovisual?
Mm-hmm. Audiovisual.
It's been very hard, but I think growth is imminent. You have to, it has to happen.
Uh-huh.
I'm taking it gradually, slowly by slowly, because people still read. Even when
I was
starting, people were saying, people don't read anymore, but people read.
Mm-hmm.
And
people read.
Yeah, so I'm taking it slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I started TikTok because the growth there
is good.
It's noticeable. It gives you motivation. Gives you motivation.
Yeah.
So that is where I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I think, the future is
is audiovisual.
Is audiovisual. Yeah. People don't read a lot like they used to. Like in Kitambo, people used to read a lot, and there was no audiovisual. But now, because we have a better way to
create
content, why not use it? So that is why
you migrated from.
Yeah.
And what like? So we said like what can you like even like from a brand's point of view, like what are the disparity between how brands treat you like as a content creator here, a tech content creator in Kenya, and how they treat content creators elsewhere, like. The disparity. I heard you talk about it on your first episode, the Spotify, not like the podcast episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like you Kenyan reviewers,
mm-hmm.
You are treated differently as compared to reviewers elsewhere.
Yeah, just like the audience will treat you.
Mm-hmm.
That level of trust is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So you will find these big brands which are like penetrating
into the
Kenyan,
uh-huh.
you know. Market,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to spend the big bucks on on us.
Yeah.
They would rather spend them out there, like on Unbox Therapy, and they are still selling to the Kenyan market. But they would rather spend Nauko.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to us, they are treating us kind of
the
level of trust. But I think this comes from the audience. Like if we have a high trust with the audience, and a lot of people are trusting us and reading
and
viewing our
content
and using our content to influence their buying decision,
this
would actually help us, and the brands would also have to trust us now because they have no other choice, because come on, everyone is reading from us, they have to use us. So but yeah, the brands are now, they work with us.
They've become more receptive.
Kitambo, I don't think it was working.
Mm-hmm.
But with pioneers, I think the pioneers walikuwa wameharibu the market.
When you talk about the pioneers, was there gatekeeping at that point?
When you start, of course, people will not show you the ropes. They don't want you to like
learn,
come take their place.
Uh-huh.
You know, they think we've been here.
Uh-huh.
This belongs to us. So.
Uh-huh.
They also influence the way brands work with you.
Because, that's true. Because most of the time, because I realized when I was doing influencing back in the day, brands, most people assume that, like, brands, let's say Samsung has a Samsung office here, that you'll just go straight to Samsung.
No.
You'll have to go through so many people before you
get there.
Yeah. So there was that some level of gatekeeping.
Yeah. It's still there. It still happens. So when you're starting, you have to, like, be ready to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what like can you like maybe can you say like about the gatekeeping? Should what like can you advise a person who wants to gatekeep? Like what like what's your word on
that? I don't think there's any advice. Why are you gatekeeping? I think the table is big, the bread is big, the cake is so big. We can all share. People can eat from it. You don't have to gatekeep. And when you do this gatekeeping and you think you are holding this audience for yourself now, because I think they think if I'm the only one creating this kind of content, people are going to be reading my
exclusively
online.
Yeah,
only this is not happening, because even if they are not reading your even if they are reading your only Kenyan, there are others out there in the other markets, and they will go out there, because nobody wants to read one review and go directly and buy. They want to compare a couple. So
like
why not have a couple of local
reviewers
who,
where you can maybe get you can maybe weigh the advice and then get what you want to get from there.
Keeping it.